Our text is found in the first book of Chronicles. The first book of Chronicles, and in chapter 4. First Chronicles, chapter 4. We shall read verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honourable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Amen. In these verses, we have a miniature portrait of a good man. The name Jabez is found in this list of the sons of Judah. But there's something which stands out when we come to Jabez. In every other case, more or less, the name only is given. So-and-so, the son of his father. But when we come to Jabez, we have details regarding his life. We learn of the circumstances of his birth, and we learn above all of his prayer. He sought the Lord, and we wonder how many of the sons of Judah did that. Those whose names are recorded here, Jabez was distinguished for this. He was one who in his day and generation was head and shoulders above others. A man of piety. We're told this concerning Jabez. He was more honorable than his brethren. Now a man's honor may pertain to his exploits in the affairs of this world. He may receive praise from men for that. But this man's honor was not because of his earthly activity, as with other men, not because of any great thing he did in that sense. His honor had to do with his fear of God, his love for the Lord, his walking in the paths of righteousness, and that is evidenced by his prayer. God-fearing man, no hypocrite, one who was sincere in his heart, and one from whom we can learn a great deal. And we do need to learn from Jabez, as he is recorded for us in the Word of God, in this portrait, to see his prayer as it is recorded there, and to lay it to our own heart. Are we praying people? Are we found upon the knees of our hearts? Do we seek God's face and his favor? You see, if you never pray in that fashion, out of a sense of need, if you never cry to God because you know that you are a sinner, and without God's forgiveness and God's renewing grace and preserving grace, you will perish in your sin. And as you do that, you will be lost. And you need to learn from Jabez. We must all learn from him. We shall consider, as the Lord helps us, the prayer of Jabez. And we shall note three things. And they all have to do with his sincerity. It is evident in that he prayed, in what he requested, and in what he received. To consider then, firstly, the sincerity of Jabez in his praying, beginning here, the sincerity evident in that he prayed. He truly prayed. Like Saul of Tarsus, when the Lord met with him, when he was brought to his knees, when he had that fear of God, when Jesus Christ spoke to him and challenged him, "Why persecute thou me?" Saul of Tarsus renewed within. A Pharisee, a religious man, and devoted to his religion, but far from God, knowing nothing of salvation. Grace came to Saul. Grace made him Paul the Apostle, the servant of Christ, bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. And what was the evidence of the change? Behold, he prayeth. Oh, you see him now, wrestling in prayer, striving in prayer, pleading at the throne, not simply saying his prayers. We were reading in Matthew chapter 6 of the hypocrites, the Pharisees being among them, and they would pray standing there in the street, or in the synagogue, to be seen of men. Well, when you truly pray, you're not interested in that. It's not a show, a performance. You would have God see you, look upon you in mercy, for you know your need of mercy. Jabez prayed. There is something in the name Jabez. It means sorrowful. And we wonder why he was given that name. When we read in Genesis chapter 3, the account of man's fall and the curse upon man, as well as upon the earth, we learn of how the woman would bring forth children with sorrow. Childbirth would be a painful experience. There might be much sadness associated with it. Many children are not even surviving in the womb and perhaps coming forth from the womb and not living many days. Yet when a child is born, the sorrow gives way to joy. It seems that in the case of Jabez, the sorrow of his mother in terms of bearing him was above the ordinary. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And we wonder at that. Perhaps there was some family tragedy at the time which caused her to name her son Jabez, sorrowful. Or perhaps Jabez came into this world with some affliction, some handicap, He was in difficulty even as he came forth from the womb. We do not know. But the detail is given. We are to take note of it. And we are to consider this. Many people begin life in this world with some disadvantage, some aspect of their health or character, which means that life will be difficult for them. It may be because of a family situation, a difficult life, full of hard things and sorrowful things. And in some way, it must have been so for Jabez. And if that is your lot in life, it can make you bitter. It can cause you to murmur at your lot, to complain at your lot. And of course, your murmuring and complaining are directed ultimately to God. Each individual who comes into this world is in this world because of God. He is the creator. He is the one that gives the soul. He is the one who has appointed the time when we shall appear in this world and the time when we shall leave it. And all our days and all that is in those days, and yes, how it will be for us, even with regard to what family we're born in, what time in the history of the world, the circumstances of life, and our personal character and circumstances there. And God is a God of wisdom, and we must never reproach God. We must never have the thought that he's erred in his providence. That cannot be. God is altogether good. And even if we cannot see that goodness, because we are so blind, because we cannot see far off, we cannot see the future, well, we should not give way to any form of reproach of God and his dealings with us. Life is a gift. And even if there may be very difficult circumstances attached to anyone's life, life is a gift. And the soul is precious. And the desire of our soul ought to be to the Lord. And in the Lord, and in his mercy and grace, all there is. The answer to all the difficulties in life. And that sad truth concerning this world and concerning mankind, which results in all these difficulties. Man's fall into sin. Our corrupt nature. Jabez was not bitter. At least, there was a time when any bitterness disappeared. Jabez rather sought the Lord. No doubt, godly men and women, his parents and others, prayed for him as an infant, as a child. But there came a time when Jabez prayed himself. And has that been the case with you? You were brought up on your mother's knee with the things of God, with his precious word, and you were taught to pray. And no doubt it was with the Lord's Prayer, which we read in Matthew chapter 6. And that became your pattern prayer. It was one that you could repeat word for word. And it is a prayer in itself. But it must be more than just a form of words. And the content of it should be that which we take to our heart and then express to God in our own words. You have the preface. You have the six petitions. You have the conclusion. It is all instructive. And it should shape our thoughts. And it should direct the requests we make to God. Above all, learning from the Lord's Prayer, we know, do we not, that we must obtain from the Lord forgiveness for our debts. It is interesting that in the Lord's Prayer we have that word debt. What is a debt? It's something you owe. Something you owe to another. And there's something, friend, that you owe to God. A debt you owe to God. It is a great one. It is an infinite one. The debt you owe to His justice. We are lawbreakers, breaking God's moral law, and we go astray from our mother's womb, speaking lies, daily in thought, word, and deed. Transgression, shortcoming, sin of one kind or another. And we owe such a debt to God as we can never pay. Never pay. And what do? We form the idea, the devil suggests it to us, that we can pay our debts. And we will do it by our works. We will do it by our good deeds. And the law will take note of them. And added together, they will outweigh our bad deeds. That is a deception, a lie. God requires that which is morally perfect. Man must be perfect. And no man is perfect, not since the fall. Coming into this world by ordinary generation. And if we are to be right with God, then it must be not on the ground of our obedience, but on the ground of another's obedience. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, His perfect righteousness. And to come to God when we pray on the ground of Christ's obedience, His sacrifice for sin, and to know in Jesus Christ acceptance with God. Jabez called on the God of Israel, Jehovah. He had been taught concerning Jehovah, the God who is self-existent, who does not need the creature, yet the God who had chosen Israel as a favored people with whom He entered into covenant, that in Israel and through Israel salvation would ultimately come to the nations of the world. Because out of Israel, and indeed the tribe of Judah, would come the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Jabez called upon Jehovah God, sought his mercy, pardon for his sin, and that was how he prayed. That is how we must pray. We must begin there and continue with that plea, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Secondly, Jabez's sincerity is seen in what he requested, to develop this a little. And we understand his request from the words we have in verse 10. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. And there's something in that word, indeed. It tells us that the desire in Jabez's heart was not so much for the things which the Lord will give, given his providence, but for the Lord himself, to be right with the Lord, to have fellowship with the Lord, and to know the riches of God's grace. God gives himself to his people graciously. He does that in Jesus Christ, the Christ who gave himself for his own, laying down his life, going to the cross, and suffering and bleeding and dying there for his people. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Temporal mercies, yes. He would have asked for those outward blessings, his daily bread. But he longed supremely for covenant blessings. And that should be your request and my request. We have the same in Matthew chapter 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things, these other things, these material needs, they will be added to you. Have the right priority. Begin where you should begin. Are you like that? Is that the sort of heart you have? Set upon God himself? Seeking grace before you seek gifts? Salvation is the one thing needful. People have all sorts of needs, we know that. And yet, so many are occupied with this world to the exclusion of the world to come. And they scarcely give a thought to what it will mean for them to come to the end of their life in this world. Here they are, and they're gathering everything to themselves. They're laying up for themselves treasures which are upon the earth. Somehow persuading themselves that these things will give them a security, that these things will make them truly to be better off than their fellows, as though there was some advantage to them, looking ahead, looking even until their dying day, in their possessions. But what advantage are these things when you take your last breath? When perhaps you come to old age and infirmity, and you know sickness and weakness, and the flesh is fading. And here you are, you have your fine home, and you have your finance, and you have your property, you have your land, you have everything. but you're dying. And soon your soul is going to leave your body, and your soul will go to God who gave it. And it will go naked to God. You won't take anything with you. You leave it all behind. It will do you no good in the day of your death. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. That should be your desire and your prayer. Mercy and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is solid, enduring, everlasting. The righteousness of Christ to clothe you. And so you go into the immediate presence of God as a justified sinner. And the Holy Spirit indwelling your heart, enabling you to enjoy fellowship with the Lord, and heavenly communion, and sweet and delightful worship. These things are preparation for a blessed eternity. These things should be first and foremost in our lives. Jabez continues in his prayer, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." And we might think that this was a prayer for some earthly blessing, and there is a sense in which Jabez was seeking that. The godly were seeking that the Lord would enlarge the coast of the nation by expelling the heathen, the Canaanites, from the land. But we believe in the case of Jabez, there was a spiritual side to his request. Indeed, this is what he was more concerned with. That's true of those who were genuine Israelites, the worshippers of Jehovah. They were not seeking so much the promised land of Canaan here below. They were seeking the promised land of heaven. "Enlarge my coast. Deliver me from sin. Deliver me from indwelling sin. Oh, enable me to crucify my flesh, to die to all that is of sin and iniquity, that which cleaves to me, my very flesh, my corrupt nature. Enlarge my coat. Extend the borders of thy kingdom within my soul, that my sin would indeed be overcome." Friends, that is a lifelong calling, to be praying, striving, fighting the good fight of faith. There's no rest there. There's no truce in that warfare. The flesh and the spirit, irreconcilable, one lusting against the other. But the victory is assured, and the promised land of heaven shall be gained. "And that thine hand might be with me." That was also his petition. "Thine hand with me." It suggests the guidance of God,
and the power of God. And that is what the Lord's people desire in their walk in this world. There are so many entanglements, so many situations they find themselves in, and the temptation is there to compromise, to go the way of the world. But they know in their conscience that cannot be done. And the word of God is exhorting them to go in the old paths wherein is the good way. Oh, that the hand of the Lord would be with me to direct me and to keep me in the way. Do you pray after that fashion, to be kept by God? That is very necessary in any generation, but may we say especially in ours, so much satanic deception. Satan coming as an angel of light. Satan drawing many unwary souls to himself, into his grip. And the Lord's people cannot simply say to themselves, well, Satan is a defeated foe. Certainly that is true in terms of the cross. Christ vanquished our great adversary by paying for the sins of his people on the cross. And Satan shall be bruised under their feet shortly. But Satan is very much alive and active as a roaring lion. He's walking about and he's seeking whom he may devour. And it is to the Lord's people that Peter says, be steadfast. Be aware of this. Watch. Be on guard. And we need to be. To keep our heart with all diligence. And to cast ourselves upon the Lord. And to seek his guidance in all the affairs of life, that we may honour him and be faithful to his word. And Jabez also had this request, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. He's praying there for deliverance, to be kept out of temptation, or if tempted, to be kept in that temptation, to be kept from sinning. This was his great burden. Sin was the thing which Jabez feared most of all. Are we like that? Or do we tend to excuse ourselves and say, it is but a little thing. It's not a very great thing at all. There's no harm in it. God will not mind. And excuses of that sort. That it may not grieve me. You see, there's a sorrow attached to sin. Always a sorrow attached to sin. That's not how it may appear. That's not how the devil presents it. But the word of God declares it. The exceeding sinfulness of sin. Sin, the occasion of sorrow. Sin, bringing guilt to the conscience. Sin, bringing shame to the individual. Sin, causing division. And we must abstain even from the appearance of evil. Jabez sought this from the Lord, that he might continue with God, that he might leave this world in a manner that was to the glory of God and a witness to the world he would leave behind. The third thing that shows Jabez's sincerity is in what he received. We learn at the end of verse 10, and God granted him that which he requested. Answered prayer. Not just one prayer. Many, many prayers going up over the course of his life. Sincere requests. Because born out of a sense of his own need, an understanding of his own sinfulness, and his need of salvation. Often when we seek the Lord for earthly things, the Lord answers those requests in his way and in his time. And we should be content with that. There may be very specific needs, and we make mention of those things to God. But we ask him for our daily bread, and we are content with what the Lord gives. When it comes to those blessings which we require for our soul, then we may indeed be very specific. This particular sin confessed, God's forgiveness sought for it, and grace requested for it, to enable us to conquer it. You have to deal with particular sins particularly, not just a general plea for God's pardon and for more grace. The battles of the Christian life, the cause of the Lord, there are particular needs there, evident in our day, that the Lord would strengthen congregations, raise up witnesses, praying people, office bearers, ministers of the gospel. The need is all around us. And may we be requesting these things. But when we pray, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, we're asking God for grace, for our soul's good, that we might be new creatures and live as new creatures and put on the Lord Jesus Christ and serve our Saviour as pleases him. God's revealed will in Scripture, that is our guide in prayer. Not just the Lord's Prayer, but the whole of the Bible. And when we pray, we are not simply asking for our own benefit. Indeed, that is not the foremost thing. The first thing is for God's glory. God's glory. That must be your desire in prayer. We may ask amiss to consume it upon our lusts. We may ask and yet not ask in faith. If that is how we pray, doubting even as we're asking, then we will not receive from the Lord. And you might be saying, well, I don't have a very strong faith. My faith is weak indeed, and I don't think that when I pray, God hears me. It may be that God does not hear you, but the reason is not that your faith is not strong. Every sincere Christian will be saying his or her faith is not what it ought to be. The question is it genuine faith? Is it the faith which is of the working of the Holy Spirit in your heart? Is it that faith which has brought you to Christ? All the blessings of God are in Christ. And only in Christ can you call upon God as your Father in heaven and do so as one of his children and from God expect to receive the very best. And the very best God has to give is his salvation in Christ and the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of glory, applying Christ's salvation to your soul, building you up in the truth, in knowledge, in true godliness, in likeness to the Saviour. We have in the Word of God exceeding great and precious promises. And they are there for the Lord's children to exercise their faith in pleading those promises to a God who is easy to be entreated, and who freely gives all that he gives. And if you have faith even as a grain of mustard seed, then that faith in Christ and acted upon in prayer will lead in God's goodness to the enjoyment of his blessing, even as Jabez enjoyed God's blessing. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. God's will in Scripture, the sense of our own need, calling upon God, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." Is this your prayer? Can you join your amen with the prayer of Jabez? Is it going up from your soul? Make it your plea. Go to God in the name of Jesus Christ. "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Save my soul. Forgive me and purge me from my sin. Grant me to know peace with thyself. And make me one of thine own children. And lead me and guide me by thy word and spirit all my days until I enter my heavenly home, dwelling with thee." May the Lord give us this prayer, and may the Lord be pleased to answer it for his glory. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, teach us to pray. Grant that thy Holy Spirit will enable us to bring our needs to thyself, especially the needs we have in regard to our soul and in the light of a coming eternity. And hear us, O God, and grant us thy blessing. Make us to be children of God and blessed by our Heavenly Father. And all we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.